We will be focusing more today on the resurrection. Last year we did focus a lot on the crucifixion. And this is Resurrection Sunday. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It is the power of the gospel. It's found in the resurrection. For without the resurrection, there is no gospel. And as we look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon him. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Verse 5, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to meet together today on Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we thank you again for sending your Son to die for us, to be buried. And Lord, we thank you for rising him from the dead. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to hearts. God, I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. Use me as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a familiar story to most. As we think about the gospel, the gospel is mentioned so much in the Bible. And I want to go ahead and in 1 Corinthians 15 and define the gospel. What is the gospel? The Bible says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye also received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." So Paul is going to tell us what the gospel is. He says, "If ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Here it is. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." That is the gospel. That is the good news. As Mary, and the Bible also in the other gospels gives us further insight as to what happened that morning, early that morning. In fact, the Gospel of John says that Mary came very early, just as the sun was rising. They came to the tomb, and there they found the tomb empty. And apparently, at that moment, they went back to some of the disciples, Peter and John, to tell them, "Hey, the tomb is empty." And they were all wondering what was taking place. And the Bible says that they went back to the tomb, and that John outran Peter to the tomb. And when they got in, of course, they looked and found there. And of course, the women were following as well. Peter and John left the tomb, but apparently the ladies stayed by. By the way, the ladies had gone early that morning to put a spice upon Jesus' body. But he wasn't there to put the spice on. Amen. But the women hung around after Peter and John had left, and that's when this angel appeared unto them. In fact, the Bible gives us further insight. It says there was two of them. And they spoke to the women and said, "Hey, I know you seek Jesus Christ. He's not here. He has risen from the dead." And as these ladies left, Mary left the tomb, apparently, again, as we find in the other Gospels, Jesus approaches them. And they didn't know it at first. And he says to them, and he talks to them, and then they recognize him. And one of the Gospels tells us that Mary actually got down on their face and hugged his feet and were kissing his feet. And he said, "Hey, don't touch me. I haven't gone to the Father yet." So Mary and some of the other ladies go back to the disciples there and say, "Hey, we saw him. It's not just an empty tomb. An angel appeared and we saw Jesus. We saw him. He's not here. He's alive." And of course they came back with joy. You imagine as they went to the grave, or they went to that tomb, in sorrow, and they left in joy. Joy knowing that Jesus, our Savior, had risen from the dead. Came again to tell the disciples, and of course, like all men, they didn't believe. I'm just kidding. No, they didn't believe. The Bible says in several of the Gospels, they did not believe.
They did not believe their story.
On that same day came some disciples on the road to Emmaus. The Bible says that Jesus appeared unto these disciples and began to talk with them and began to ask them why they were so sad. And they said to, they didn't know at the time it was Jesus. They said to Him, well, but we had trusted that this Messiah has died and we thought He was going to, you know, bring about redemption for all mankind and deliver us from Roman oppression and so forth, redeem Israel. And they were sad. Then Jesus Christ revealed Himself to them. And He began to preach to them about Himself throughout the Old Testament, beginning at Moses. The road to Emmaus, the disciples who then recognized Jesus, they saw Jesus. And of course, they went back to the disciples. And they said to the disciples, we've seen Jesus. We've seen Him. He's raised from the dead. He's alive and well. We saw Him. We talked with Him. In fact, He said, didn't our hearts burn within us as He talked with us, by the way? Amazing. And the Bible says they were still skeptical, most of them. Then the Bible tells us that they were breaking bread and eating in an upper room. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jesus appears to them. The Bible says the doors were locked. But He didn't need to unlock the door. He just appeared to them. And He said, look, touch me if you want. Handle me if you want. And they saw Jesus. And they believed. Yeah, old Thomas wasn't around at that time. Old Doubting Thomas, remember? One of the disciples wasn't in that upper room that night. He didn't come to Sunday night service. And Jesus later on appears to Thomas and says to Thomas, hey, touch the nail prints. Here, look at my riven side. And Thomas says to Him, my Lord and my God. Triunity of God. Jesus Christ is risen. He showed Himself, the Bible says, by many infallible proofs. It says there in 1 Corinthians 15 again, we read verse 1 through 4, verse 5 says, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen above 500 brethren. After His resurrection now, He was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me, talking about Paul, also as of one born out of due time. He was seen of these ladies. He was seen of the apostles. He was seen of 500 brethren. He was seen even by Paul himself. 7 or 8 years later, He was seen. He was seen. The proof of the resurrection this morning is the results that happen. The proof of the resurrection is found in the results. As we look at Brother Juan here this morning, and what a pleasure it's been to get to know the Rodriguez family over the years, and it's just been a blessing baptizing him, and woo, you know, just how God has transformed his life and how God has worked in their family's life. And we could repeat that here in the auditorium of others whom God has touched their lives and they've gotten saved and seen a transformation take place. And what proof do you need? Many saw Him, Mary, the disciples. But that's not just that they saw Him, but that it impacted their lives. The real proof is what it did for them, the results on their lives. The death of Christ, you think about it now, the death of Christ, Him, the disciples seeing Him there on that cross and seeing His death and seeing Him placed in the tomb would have naturally scattered them. In fact, the Bible says it did scatter them. The Bible says that all forsook Jesus. Even His apostles forsook Him. All forsook Him. Peter denied Him. Peter, of all people that walked on the water with Jesus, denied Jesus 3 times. They were scattered. But it was the resurrection that united them. They were scattered as a sheep having no shepherd. And it was the resurrection that united them, that united the disciples. Some of them had gone back fishing. Some of them had gone back, you know, could have gone back tax collecting or whatever. But what made the difference? Why didn't they go back to their old jobs? Why didn't they go back to where they were at before they had met Jesus? The resurrection. Hope had faded for them. We know this because of Luke 24:21. Those disciples there on the road to Emmaus said this to Jesus. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Hope had faded when Jesus died for the disciples. Hope had faded for the women and for the ladies that knew Jesus. But when they saw Him, hope returned. When they saw Him, it changed them. It changed their thoughts concerning Jesus. You see, they were looking for a Messiah who would release them, who would deliver them from the oppression of the Roman government. That's what the Jews were looking for. See, they had been promised a Messiah since the time of Abraham. They had been promised a Messiah since Adam, honestly. But from the time of Abraham, it had been promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and on down through to David, were promised a Messiah who would come one day. The Messiah did come. But it wasn't the Messiah that the Jews as a whole were wanting. They were wanting a deliverer. They were wanting a Samson. They were wanting a judge of Israel to step forward and deliver them from this great Roman government. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus said He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus Christ. And once He rose from the dead, the disciples understood. The Bible says they began to understand what He was saying when He said, you know, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll build it again. He had told them that He was going to die, but it didn't quite click with them. I mean, He said to them, I am going to Jerusalem, I am going to suffer, I am going to die, and I am going to rise again. He said those very words to them, but they didn't quite get it. They were still wanting a deliverer. But once they saw the resurrected Christ, it united them. It changed their understanding of who Jesus was. That He wasn't this deliverer. That He wasn't Samson. That He was the Savior. He wasn't a deliverer. He was the Savior. He came to take away their sins. He came to die for them. He came to give them salvation. He came to give them everlasting life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed their understanding of who Jesus was. Now they understood, their eyes were open, their understanding was open. The Holy Spirit now indwelled them. Remember now, after His death there, and after He had talked with them on several occasions, there at the end He appears to them and He blows on them and they receive the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says their understanding was open. The resurrection united them. The resurrection changed their understanding of who the Messiah was. The resurrection gave them power. Gave them power. If you'll just listen up right here. This goes along with what the choir sang about. It was the resurrection that gave them power. Power. I think about Peter. Peter, one of the apostles. Peter, the one who was always out front of the apostles. The one that was in charge, if you would. He was the one when those soldiers came to the garden, and Judas Iscariot came up and kissed Jesus and to betray Him. Everybody with me? It was Peter who took his sword out and was going to get at it. And just like nipped the ear of one of the soldiers. Wasn't a very good swordsman. But he was the one who was always out front. He's the one when they saw Jesus walking on the water, he's the one that said, if you're Jesus, then let me come out to you. And Peter stepped out on the water and walked. Peter was constantly sticking his foot in his mouth. Peter there at Christ's trial. Peter had told Jesus before His death, I'll never deny You. Jesus told him, you're going to deny Me. Peter said, I will never do that. I'll go to death for You. And yet we find Peter huddled around a little fire with some other Jews and he denied Jesus 3 times. Even cursed a little bit to prove it. Peter. And yet, 50 days after Christ's resurrection, we find Peter standing up and preaching to a massive crowd in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people get saved. By the way, listen now, listen. Peter stands up and preaches to the same crowd that had crucified Jesus 50 days earlier, and he preaches to them. He says to them, you can go read it in Acts 2. He says to them, you murdered the Messiah. He comes out and says that they're murderers. That takes some boldness, doesn't it? The same man that denied the Lord Jesus to a little girl there by a fire, now stands up and preaches to this massive crowd and calls them murderers and says to them, this was the Messiah and this is the Holy Spirit ministry, and why did you miss it? The same man. What made the difference? What made the difference in Peter's life? Why could this timid, we wouldn't call him timid, but this man who denied, now is preaching with power and defending the faith, preaching the gospel. This man later on, Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 1:3. He says, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He saw the hope that lied in the resurrection. He saw the hope that lies in the resurrection. That's what made the difference. Why did Peter change from a denier of Christ to one who delivered the message of the Messiah? It was the power of the resurrection. Can I tell you this morning, Christians who are here, it's the Lord that makes the difference. It's the resurrection that makes the difference in our lives. It's the resurrection that makes us and gives us power, the Holy Ghost that has come upon, that indwells us to tell others, as the song said a while ago, to tell others of Jesus Christ. It is the difference that in Peter's life was the resurrection. Secondly, Paul. So two people. Peter, who was a saved person, who believed, and then Paul, who was a lost person. His name was Saul. And Saul was a part of that religious crowd, part of that Pharisees and Sadducees. He was a Pharisee. And Paul went about threatening the church after Jesus' resurrection. Paul was gone about. He was the one who was taking church members, taking Christians and putting them in chains and putting them in prison. And man, he breathed out threatenings against the church. And one day on the road to Damascus, the Bible says the Lord appeared to him. Jesus Christ appeared to him and said to Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? The Bible says that Saul believed. Saul believed, became a believer. And for a few years, he spent some time with Jesus. And Saul, who was a persecutor of the church, Saul, who was a persecutor of Christians, now was presenting the gospel to the Jews. Now is presenting the gospel to the Gentiles. What made the difference in Saul's life? He had seen Jesus be crucified. He had seen Jesus be put in the tomb. What made the difference in Saul's life, who became Paul? It was the resurrection that made the difference in his life. It is the power of the gospel. In fact, Paul says in Acts 1:16, Paul said this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul wrote Corinthians. He says this. He says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and if we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. You think Paul believed it? You think Paul believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? Absolutely. The man who persecuted Christians now is writing the gospel. The person who was going about putting Christians in prison is now preaching that same message. He believed in the resurrection of the dead, but now is Christ rise from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And on and on and on. 1 Corinthians 15 is a wonderful chapter. You ought to go home and read it. Paul. What was the difference in Paul's life? It was the resurrection. Paul was preaching and teaching in the city of Athens. And they took hold on him and brought him to Mars Hill. And there Paul preached a message to the Athenians. And there he presented the gospel to them. In verse 18 of Acts 17, it says, "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him and said, 'What will this babbler say? Some he saith to the setter forth of the strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.'" He preached unto them, the Athenians, he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious.'" And he preaches a message unto them, and I won't take time to go over the whole thing. You can read it in Acts 17. But he says this at the end, "But the times of this ignorance God winked at." In other words, your rejection of God and your rejection of Christ. "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' And so Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed." And believed. So here he stands up and he preaches to them. He tells them of the Savior. He tells of the God who created all things. And goes on and he teaches them of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it says some of the Athenians mocked. And I'm telling you today, there are some who do mock the resurrection of the dead. All over our country today, there are people mocking the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen this morning, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The proof is that the 500 who saw Him, the proof is the apostles who saw Him, the proof is Mary and the other ladies who saw Him, and James and the other apostles, and doubting Thomas, and so forth and so on. Many who saw Him. And when Paul was writing Corinthians, he said some of them are still alive today. They saw Jesus Christ alive, and Paul saw Him. The proof is that the church is in existence. Churches all over the world today, in existence. Proof that the disciples were united behind the resurrection. It is the resurrection that unites us. Amen. Listen, there are other beliefs out there of individuals who have died, who left good teachings. And we could name a few of them. Buddha or whomever, Confucius. Others we could name. And there are those who follow these individuals who are dead, buried, and still in the grave. Right? And listen, if Jesus had not died, and if Jesus had not risen from the dead, there might still be some good moral teaching. And there are a lot of moral, very good teachings from Jesus. But can I tell you that? What? This morning, it's more than just the moral teachings of Jesus. It's more than just the life of Jesus. It's the life that He lives now. It's the resurrection of Christ that gives the power of salvation. You see, Buddha doesn't bring salvation. Buddha brings teachings. Confucius doesn't bring salvation. He brings teachings and so forth. Muhammad doesn't bring salvation. He brings teachings. Listen to me. Jesus Christ brings more than teaching. He brings salvation to all mankind. He is the Savior, the Anointed One. And all that come to Him, all that believe, can have salvation. Some mocked. Some mocked. Some procrastinated. We'll hear you again some other time. There may be some here who have been in church many times and have heard the gospel message and have never accepted Christ as your Savior. And you say, "Well, I'll just do it. I'll do it some other time." And you keep pushing it off. And you keep pushing it off. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, accept Him today. Don't hear the matter again another day. Accept Him today. And then the third group was those who believed. Those who clung to Paul. Those who accepted the message. And that's where we ought to look at today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Peter, the Christian, believed in the resurrection, saw Jesus, it changed his life. Christian, this morning, listen, it's the resurrection that changes lives. It ought to change the way you view the world. It does. Salvation changes the way we view the world. It's what gives us power to be a gospel witness. It's what gives us power to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you are saved and you know it, you ought to be living it under the power of the resurrection. The Holy Spirit enabling you to live that abundant life. that victorious life. And we think of the Rodriguezes here this morning, and to see the lives that were changed because of the decision that they made to accept Christ as Savior. Paul believed, changed his life. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You say, well, I'm a good person. I didn't say you weren't a good person. The Bible says you're a sinner. We're all selfish by nature. I'm selfish. We're all selfish by nature. The Bible says, and Paul said in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. You see, the wage or the payment of our being selfish by nature is death. Revelation describes that death as death, hell, and the lake of fire. Listen, this morning, there is a penalty for sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. And there, the Bible says He placed Himself on that cross. He said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. He laid down that cross, and He allowed those Roman soldiers to put those nails in His hands. And there they placed Him in that hole, that cross in that hole. And there He shed His blood for me, and He shed His blood for you to forgive us of our sins. He died. He said, it is finished. And they took Him off the cross and they put Him in a tomb. And 3 days later, on that fine Sunday morning, early, early in the morning, He rose again from the dead. Amen. Do you believe this morning? Or are you a mocker? Do you believe this morning? Or are you going to be one of those ones that pushes it off to another day? Or will you be like some who held on to Paul and said, we believe. And they were gloriously saved. The results of the resurrection is changed lives. It's power of the changed life. Power for salvation and power for Christian living. Power to be saved from our sins and the power to walk in newness of life. Have you experienced the power of the resurrection? Let's all stand. Hymn 161, Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling, after we pray. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love for us. We thank You for Your Son again that came and died for us, was buried and rose again, that we might have everlasting life. God, we thank You that it doesn't just end there, but those who believe have power to live. Those who believe have the power to live a victorious and abundant life. Lord, I'm so glad that You gave us life. You gave us life more abundant, that life was not meant to be endured, but meant to be enjoyed. And I'm so thankful that I got saved when I was a kid. And I'm so thankful that I experienced the joy of this life. And I'm so looking forward to the life to come, eternal life, and the joy we'll experience there. God, again, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Listen, this is an invitation. We're kind of old-fashioned around here. If the Lord has touched your heart, if something has just knocked at your heart's door, you felt a tinge there, the Lord's speaking to you that you need to be saved, that you need to accept Christ as your Savior, please, have courage, step out of your chair and do what Juan has done and others have done. Step out of your chair and come forward. And we have men and ladies here who can show you from the Word of God how you can experience eternal life, how your sins can be forgiven. Christian, this morning maybe some decisions to be made concerning the power in your own life. Living the Christian life, won't you come this morning as we sing softly?